The introduction that you may not skip, the church's yellow wallpaper. Charlotte Perkins Gilman's doctor drove her mad. His prescription for her unknown condition did anyway. Gilman's condition was, in her own words, a severe and continuous nervous breakdown tending to melancholia and beyond. Gilman was showing signs of severe postpartum depression. But in the 19th century, these symptoms were not often diagnosed properly and were easily labeled as neurasthenia, a fashionable diagnosis for the privileged class that looked to blame all anxious symptoms on the accelerating pace of modern life. Gilman finally sought relief from one of the best-known specialists in nervous diseases of her time, Dr. S. Weir Mitchell. What was his terrible prescription that pushed Gilman so near the borderline of utter mental ruin that she could see over? Believing that her problem was too much mental and social activity, Dr. Mitchell prescribed rest therapy, abstention from any mental, social, or physical activity. From her 1887 visit, Gilman describes doctor's orders. "He sent me home with solemn advice to live as domestic a life as far as possible, to have but 2 hours intellectual life a day, and never to touch pen, brush, or pencil again as long as I lived." This is the opposite of what Gilman thought would help her, but he was the expert after all, and she wanted to get better. So she obeyed the doctor's orders. Instead of getting better, she got much worse. Something else about Dr. Mitchell and his expertise on neurasthenia: the prescribed cure was very different for men who were suffering the condition than it was for women. The underlying notion of neurasthenia, that nervous energy gets depleted because people's bodies weren't built for modern life, provided an easy way to reinforce traditional gender roles. When men spent too much time indoors, when they couldn't keep up with the pace of their work or had money problems, they were susceptible to neurasthenia. Women were susceptible when they were too socially active or spent too much time outside the home. For men, the frontier held the cure. Doctors would often send male neurasthenics westward to ride horses, rope cattle, do push-ups, and slap each other's butts until the sheer manliness of it all restored their nervous energy. The culture of the time was steeped in Victorian-era values and ideals of what it means to be a man and a woman. Still relying on ancient Greek assumptions, society maintained that women's brains were considered inferior to men's, incapable of contributing at the same intellectual and social level. This culture seeped all the way down to medical diagnoses. Since women weren't given the right to vote until 1920, poor Charlotte Perkins Gilman didn't have much of a voice when it came to her own diagnosis and treatment. She was to trust in this diagnosis from a medical authority, and it plunged her into deeper depression and madness. Taking creative action. Somehow, Gilman still had the strength of mind to quit this bogus rest therapy and regained her mental and physical health. Her now infamous 19th century novella, The Yellow Wallpaper, is a brilliant and disturbing exploration of the effects patriarchal attitudes and constrictions have on female psychosynthesis. The woman narrating the story also suffers from a form of postpartum depression and is prescribed the rest cure by her loving doctor, who happens to be her husband. He takes her rest therapy seriously, renting a remote estate house for the summer that has been long vacant and unattended. In the beginning of the story, the woman admits to the reader that she is defiantly writing in secret. Her concern, one that she